Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on the 31-12 Titans win last night down in Miami. Titans get their first win of the year. Take your thoughts on all that all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Speaking of the text line, Joe, you had a text that you would like to respond to now on the air.
Yeah, so we got David in Portland saying, I'm tired of everyone in the media saying, quote, it's still early. It's not early anymore. Look at Jaden Daniels. You either got it or you don't. First of all, Jaden Daniels is amazing. I am here for it. Like, I'm actually like, you know, as a kid, I was a Redskins fan. I am like, I'm going to start like arranging my Sundays for the Washington Commanders. They're so fun to watch.
They play the Titans later this year.
They do. Thanksgiving weekend. So he's great, but you either got it or you don't right off the jump. I mean, no, David, no. And I said, so except for all the quarterbacks who take years to get it, have you noticed them or not? Nah. And he said, Josh Allen's the only one who comes off the top of my head. Josh Allen is a great example of a guy who was bad. I don't know that he was a turnover machine like Levis is this year, but he was bad. Now, point's been made by some. We've made the point. Make it again. All of this stuff is different because he's a second-round pick as opposed to the first or second
pick.
If he's a first or second pick, then you are, you know, like, it's just, you have
We're
to.
We're not even having a conversation yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Although Carolina's already given up on their number one overall pick. But there's for the most part, unless you're a complete poverty franchise, you know, then you're going to try to see that through. But, yeah, Josh Allen, we've talked so much about Jordan Love. I'm watching Sam Darnold, who Sam Darnold was bad turnover guy, bad quarterback. Someone actually suggested in the text line, how about send Levis to San Fran? Maybe San Fran can be like your quarterback rehabilitation.
Just go sign him again.
Hey, we'll trade you Levis for free. Just keep him for a year so he can get better and then trade him back to us. There's tons of guys, though, David, tons of guys who take time and are bad early and figure it out. Yes, Jaden Daniels is amazing right away. C.J. Stroud last year, fantastic right away. That happens too. And I mean, again, I hate to bring Peyton into it. It's different era, and he's one of the all-time greats, but like 31 pick. 31? Is that right? 31 picks?
I think so. Let me go look.
Like, just turnovers galore. You played through it. I understand why people get ticked off when you even bring up that comparison, but it's just an example of there are
28 picks.
Okay, 28 picks as a rookie. There are bad starts to careers that turn out good. And again, there's guys who get discarded. How about Cleveland? Boy, they sure – and I understand Baker had already done some good things and won a playoff game. But, I mean, still, they gave up on him.
Well, look at the league
now.
Right
now, look at him.
Baker Mayfield is playing really well in Tampa. Did you see what Geno Smith did last night in Seattle?
Discarded.
Yeah.
Career starts over. All of a sudden, he's good.
Darnold has the Vikings at 4-0, and he's playing – like, right now, if you had an MVP short list, he would have to be on it
right,
with the way that he's playing.
Jared Goff, thrown away.
Right.
No, he sucks. Oh, now we got a great quarterback. Jared Goff just went 18 for 18 for 292. Perfect quarterback rating last night. Caught a TD, too. Yeah, Baker. Right now, I mean, it's a little bit less of an example, but Fields in Pittsburgh. I mean, there's some level of revival there with him. I mean, you go all over the league. Carr in New Orleans. Tannehill here.
Yeah.
Different. He had success. Right? I mean,
there's different levels of all this, for sure.
But the bottom line is there are definitely some guys, and there are some guys right now who at some point, maybe we see Kenny Pickett somewhere. Maybe we see Mac Jones somewhere. Maybe not. But like right now, it's like they just suck. They suck. They're done.
Right.
High pick. Oh, now they suck.
Right. And that definitely happens. Now, look. We listed off a ton of examples where that's happened. You can also list off a ton where it's bad early and it's just bad.
It's just bad.
And
sure.
That happens in the league too. And that's the difficult part, right? Is trying to determine
which one is it?
Like, are you just bad or is there time that has to be devoted to you to make sure the best comes out of you?
It's very difficult, but again, to the original irritation of you either got it or you don't. Jaden Daniels right away or that's it. No. We've missed a lot of examples right now off top of our head. There's both things. That's why it's hard.
It's hard. Now, again, I don't care who you are in the league. You don't stop turning the football over, and eventually you're just going to run out of time. Like, you got to stop turning the football over. And when he threw that pick last night, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, the first drive, you're coming out here throwing a pick. Like, I couldn't believe it. It's the frustration with me is starting to mount very quickly when it comes to just not protecting the football. And is right now, is that enough reason to make Mason Rudolph your starting quarterback? No. Like, I think you go back with Levis and you see where you're at after the bye week. But the one thing I'll say about Rudolph, like, I feel certainly better about him taking care of the football right now. I'm still with you. Like, I think the floor with Levis is lower. I do think the ceiling's higher. Like, Levis clearly, I think, has more ability than Mason Rudolph does. But we see that throughout the league all the time. Sometimes ability and production don't quite match up. And sure, he's got to find a way. He doesn't have to go from where he is now to, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But we got to start to see some improvement that we're just not seeing right now.
No doubt. No, could not possibly disagree. Lance says Washington has two rookie offensive linemen. Sometimes rookie offensive linemen are good. Like, J.C. Latham is a Titans rookie offensive lineman. I'd say he's their best offensive lineman. Matt says, this conversation is ridiculous. Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, all spent time as a backup. NFL hasn't changed. His peak skill level quarterback is the first or second year after they're drafted, barring phenoms like Patrick Mahomes. Levis needs to be bent so he can grow organically as a student of the game. Putting in Rudolph changed the entire dynamic of the team. I don't know why the conversation is ridiculous from all that. You know, you can argue that.
Well, they're not going to bench Levis now. They've played him. So, like, the idea that they should now bench him and then further prolong the evaluation of him when he's already in the second year of his contract is ridiculous.
Right.
If you're going to leave him on the bench, then you should have left him on the bench last year and then started, you know, to have him go that route. But now you've chosen this route, so now you have to stick with it.
Right. Like, you sit him down so he can learn organically. Great. In the meantime, who's your quarterback?
Yeah.
And what's your future? Because the thing is, first of all, I hate to talk draft, but just quickly, I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding. There's a lot of talk about there's not a lot of first round, like it's a low first round grade. That doesn't mean that the quarterbacks in this draft aren't going to be good. This is not supposed to be like a historically bad. This is not like the draft with Pickett, Willis.
No.
So, like, but also, you know, if your answer is another quarterback, there definitely could be a free agent. Again, we just talk about all these guys who are going other places who all of a sudden they're good. That could be the Titans' answer.
Well,
I mean, what is Darnold on a 1 year?
I think he's on a 1 year.
So, you know.
Well, if he keeps playing like this, Minnesota might
have
to change their
plan.
Yeah, they
try to lock him up. But they just drafted a guy in the first round. So, but regardless, you know, like right now, if you're done with him, great. But if you're not, the idea of sitting him so he can learn and stuff, like, that, the timeline doesn't work for that.
Well, it's too late for that. Like, you've already chosen your path that way. Like, the idea that you could sit him down and then, like, all right, well, next year, then you can really dive in. Like, no, it's too late for that.
You got to make another decision.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Quick audible on the program. Paul Kaharsky will be with us coming up next here at 7:15. We will get his thoughts on the Dolphins and the Titans from last night. Titans get their first win of the year. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Titans win 31-12 last night. Pick up their first win of the year. Mason Rudolph coming in at quarterback. And to help us talk more about the Titans win from last night, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
Fresh as a daisy, gentlemen. Fresh as a daisy.
At Florida sunshine down there, giving PK some new life.
Hey, beach time?
I was out at the beach for sunrise.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Lying.
All right, PK, let's get into it. Mason Rudolph comes in. The Titans win. Rudolph does not have to do a ton in the game. He throws for 85 yards. He does take care of the football. And the Titans pick up their first win of the year. Brian Callahan not hesitating after the game, saying Will Levis is their quarterback moving forward. What did you make of the way that it played out in the game with Rudolph last night and what that means for the quarterback conversation now here moving forward?
Yeah, I think unless Will Will's shoulder is messed up. It's the right call. I mean, that game unfolded in a beautiful way for the Titans. They got a lead. They were able to run. You know, it wasn't a beautiful run game or anything, but they ran twice as often as they threw, which minimized the urgency of the pass protection and didn't call on those guys to, you know, do more than 20 snaps worth of pass protection. Rudolph's numbers were paltry. You know, they broke through the 30-point barrier that had been such a big deal for them and all of that. But it's about as ugly a 30-point effort as you could get. So, you know, a lot of good happened for them in ugly fashion. But I think they got to get back to work on all the same things they were working on before, take a win against a really bad team, and hope the Colts are bad too.
So, as you can imagine, PK, you know, it's every angle of the quarterback discussion today, and, like, you know, people mad that we would even talk about it because – Callahan said, you know, he's the quarterback, and people mad that we would even consider that Will Levis should see another snap in the NFL. At what point do you say, are you fed up? At what point are you like, okay, I've seen enough?
Yeah, not yet. I mean, look, I think the general consensus is, and we'll talk to Callahan about this more today, that it's a Levis examination season. And, you know, later on in the year, most of the time, putting in the middling backup to get a couple wins is frowned upon by people. For some reason, there's a share of them that want it now. I'm generally a win-at-all-costs guy, and even I, this year, think that they should ride with Levis, get all the information they can on him, and take whatever kind of draft pick comes with that, which is going to be better than what they get with Rudolph if he keeps going the direction he does. Maybe a switch comes on at some point and they get better as the season goes along, which could give you some hope and some evidence that he can be a player going forward, which would be the best case scenario. Or you learn that he can't be the guy and turn towards building for the future, whether that includes moving forward with him or Rudolph next year as you continue to build up a team around who will be the quarterback eventually. But it's a slow process. It's painful watching Levis not see a defensive end drop in front of his target. But insta results are not coming with either of them, in which case I think you stick with Levis.
Totally fair. Now, to that point, how concerning is it at this point that the turnovers continue to come at such a rapid rate game in and game out with him at this point?
Yeah, again, Callahan kind of making it like, well, that kind of interception happens. He didn't see a guy, and sometimes quarterbacks don't see a guy. Well, this quarterback's allowed to start seeing that guy, and I think that's the heart of Joe's question. Like, how long do you wait? I want to see – I think we all want to see some examples of him recognizing some stuff and, you know, where they could come back and say, look at this non-throw. He pulled the ball down because he saw this guy squatting on a route or dropping back in coverage in an unusual way, and our young quarterback recognized it and made an adjustment and didn't do something. And we need to see some examples of that. But again, it's four games into his first season with this new offense. It's not uncommon for quarterbacks to make mistakes like this. We look around the league at guys. I'm not saying he gets 4 years or anything like that, but I certainly think he could be a guy that resurfaces and turns into a Geno Smith or a Sam Darnold or somebody who's in a perfect situation, learns his way out of this stuff. And we're saying, you know, He's a good enough quarterback to win with. Now, do they have enough time to wait for that long-term development like we're seeing out of people like Baker Mayfield? Probably not. But you'd certainly like to give him every chance to be that guy in Nashville first.
How was he after this? How was he last night just on his performance and, you know, and just where things are at this point?
I did not make it over to him, but other guys.
God, you wouldn't stoop to interview Levis after this game? He wasn't good enough for you, huh?
I just did not get there, but other guys conveyed that he was about to talk, and then PR gave him an out. Like, you don't want to talk about your injury? No, no, I don't. And they let him off the hook. So we did not hear from him.
He didn't talk?
And he did not talk. Oh. I suppose we get two players today because that's mandated, and then there's no availability the remainder of the week. So we probably don't hear from Will Levis until Wednesday before Indianapolis, a week from Wednesday.
So, PK, on the defensive front, obviously playing Tyler Huntley certainly helped out the defense last night. He was atrocious watching him try to play quarterback. I did think Tavondre Sweat was really, really good, and you couple that with the absence of Jeffrey Simmons. Titans up front, I thought, did a really good job on the defensive side of the ball. But Sweat specifically, what did you make of his game, the way he played last night?
Very strong, very strong, and moved laterally to get involved in stuff. And the Titans figured out how to stop perimeter runs when a guy like A-Chain, you know, I thought would be a threat to that. And they certainly tried to get Tyreek Hill going with a couple handoffs into the backfield. You know, that whole key of stopping the run and getting the game into the hands of a third-string quarterback who hasn't been around very long worked beautifully. And then, you know, they're two big receivers, even with a bad quarterback, should be able to do more. I think they combined for 58 yards or something like that. So defensively, very effective. The first turnover, not a thing of beauty because the officials have to whistle that play dead instead of letting it play out like they're supposed to and then being able to take things away when they can't add things on. But Arden Key making a smart play there on the backwards pass. So strong defensive effort all around against a bad quarterback. Same kind of thing they should have been able to do to Malik Willis. Can't do it to a second stringer, but able to do it to a third stringer. So, you know, maybe Joe Flacco can get hurt next week and they can face whoever the backup to the backup is with the Colts.
Did it to a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, they did.
By the way, for the record. How do you...
The weakest Pro Bowl entry in the history of weak Pro Bowl entry.
It might be. Like, there should be a list of, like, worst Pro Bowlers of all time.
He would top it.
So, offensive line play, PK. It appeared to me that it looked competent last night. You know, again, not a lot of throwing. A lot more running, which suits this group. But do you think that we've seen a pretty decent size step forward here on that front?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be an outlier. I don't know how many games they're going to be able to craft like that, but 20 dropbacks is certainly better than 30 dropbacks. So if they and the running backs weren't that great, you know, it was just a game where they were able to run like that, but the yards per carry wasn't anything outstanding. Spears, they had the one big run that kind of got things going and set them up for the first touchdown. Was that Spears or Pollard?
That's Pollard.
They shifted so much, 41 yards, I think. So that really kind of turned things and opened things up. So I don't think the run blocking and the run game was spectacular, but it did enough to shift the game and make it a run game. And I think if it's a run game, they obviously have a chance to pass protect in a way that's superior. So can they shape games like that? I don't think they're good enough to shape many games, but they were good enough to shape this game. So we know they can do that against a specific type of defense. They also wanted to get ahead, and they got ahead, which helps you kind of be able to control things. How often are they going to be able to play with a lead? You know, I think Indianapolis is not a very good team in the vein of the Titans. So as long as they could keep getting teams like that to pop up on their schedule, they've got a chance.
Well, PK, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and we will see you tomorrow here on the program.
Another bright and early morning. I'm loving the lifestyle.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Appreciate
you. Boys.
All right, PK will be with us tomorrow again on the program in the 8 o'clock hour, and he typically shows up a little bit earlier, and we'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him tomorrow. Mm-hmm. As well. React to what PK had to say. More of your thoughts on the 31-12 win for the Titans against the Miami Dolphins last night. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's from Nashville's largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Aim for a great time while enjoying curated cocktails from the full bar and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45. Taking your thoughts on the Titans in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, we will get back into the quarterback conversation here in just a few minutes because obviously that's the dominating topic today. There was a lot of good from the Titans last night. You brought up the offensive line. I thought T'Vondre Sweat was really good last night, and the Titans defense did that, albeit against a really bad quarterback. A nice job on defense without Jeffrey Simmons in the game. DeAndre Hopkins didn't get a ton of opportunities last night. It looks like he's moving well again out there, which is good to see. It is two games in a row where they've gotten basically nothing from Calvin Ridley. Now, again, the way the game played out last night, nobody in the passing game was going to get all that much, but you are talking about a one reception for 5 yards game for Calvin Ridley in a game before that against the Packers where he had what didn't he have one catch against the Packers too? Like it's not been a very productive couple of weeks here for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's early on in the 0-2 start, it's like, well, they are getting Ridley going. They're getting that going, and now it's not going. So, yeah, last night is kind of one that you'd look at and be like, well, it's just the kind of weird football game it was. But certainly you want to get that going. You know, Hopkins has, to 4 targets, 2 for 31. It's slim pickings across the board. But Calvin Ridley, give a guy that kind of money and you only target him 3 times in a game. And like you said, 2 straight games where you're not getting much. You would think that would be a priority, try to get those guys going. And if the offensive line is taking a step forward, again, I think last night was they didn't have to have a lot of obvious third and long situations where you got to worry about different pressures and things like that. So, take it with a grain of salt. But if they are going to take a step, you've got to start leaning into the passing game and taking advantage of some of the talent you have.
I will say, though, we were pretty hard on Skoronski last week, the way he played against Green Bay. And it was a rough start to the year for Peter Skoronski. There are several occasions last night where he and Latham were just mauling people up front in the running game. And you still have to prove that you can do it week in, week out in terms of protecting the passer, and you're going to have more challenges with that as the season moves on here than they saw last night in Miami. So we'll see. We'll see what that means. But, it was clear. You can go back and watch some of the replays. Like, there were a couple running plays where Latham and Skoronski were just road graders out there in the running game.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's no question that they are physical and very strong. And again, I think Latham all around is good. All around good player. Like, that's going to end up being a really good pick for the Titans. But Skoronski needed a game like that where, like, I didn't see anything that was blatantly, and again, this is watching on TV, but I didn't see anything that was blatantly bad on his part, and they need that badly. They need the left side to be strong.
One thing I will say, like, the special teams continue to just worry the crap out of me. I mean, other than Nick Folk, who, by the way, drilled some 50-plus yard field goals last night. It was good to see.
Yeah, how about that?
I can tell you this, after watching Braden Narveson on Sunday, Titans made the right call in the Nick Folk, Braden Narveson discussion. So, going back to the preseason, chalk that one up. Titans made the right call. Other than him, though, like, you got another punt. I think we agree. Deflected there. It wasn't totally blocked, but it was at least tipped. Stonehouse, I will say, the last punt got it off unbelievably quickly and pinned them down in the 10-yard line. So good to see a nice punt play there. But other than that, you had a punt almost blocked. You gave up a 25-yard punt return, and you had whatever the heck happened on that safety free kick where Colt Anderson is slamming his headset on the sideline and yelling at Jaquan Jackson to fair catch the ball, but it turned out that it didn't matter, and they got the ball because it was outside the landing zone. A lot of weird stuff going on special teams last night.
And it sounds like Jaquan Jackson, per Brian Callahan, was like, claimed to know that all along, but who knows if he did or I don't know.
It did look like there was a fair bit of confusion going on out there.
Is it possible that he actually knows the rules better than his coaches?
Well, maybe.
Now, for the most part, though, it's there's something every week.
Yeah.
And
it's not good.
In the official play-by-play, there is not credit for them deflecting the ball on the one that, the replay review to give it back to the Dolphins. But still, it was just another example of, there you go. Free run at your punter again.
Well, it's hard to imagine them not getting another punt blocked sometime soon with the way that things are going right now with that. It's unbelievable.
It's the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I don't either. But I saw him rushing up the middle last night. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to block it again. He barely got it away. And then the Titans seemed like they got the ball back, but I guess didn't after that.
I mean, every other special team goes, hey, guys, the Titans often just don't block people right in the middle of the line. We should try that.
Yeah,
and then just go block a punt.
And it's also in the NFL, you don't try to block every punt. Sometimes you're trying to set up a return. If I'm going up against the Titans, yeah, we're going to try to block this one, man. Forget the return, which we can do that on the Titans too, but we're going to try to block every punt against the Titans. That would be my strategy.
Yeah.
Send the house.
Sure. Yeah, just punt block all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, your odds are pretty good at this point.
They are. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the mailman. Kenny, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Fellas, that's scary. Y'all are psychic. I was going to call and talk about the special teams myself.
Wow.
All I know, I ran the playback 2 or 3 times. There were 22 players on the field, about 7 of the 9 officials, all the coaches on the sidelines, and the guys in the booth that had absolutely no idea what the rule was on the new onside kick.
Yep.
I mean, if you saw players, they were sort of running, am I going to score? Players looking at each other going, you got it, I got it. And then the coach on the sideline, he didn't have a clue what the rule was because that's the maddest I saw anyone the whole game. So if you are in charge of a team, you got to at least know the rules. You get that rule book out and you know them. And second, that punt did get deflected. And now they've come from each position. They've got it blocked wide from the very end and then right up the middle. So that is a huge problem right there. So, it's almost like it is what it is and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But on punts, I tell everybody, just hold. Because they hate, no, literally, you laugh. They hate calling holding on a punt because they have to bring everybody back from all over the field. Plus, there's pressure to get to a commercial. So they seldom call holding on a punt. So Yeah, that's true.
Just tackle somebody.
They need to really get together and work on the special teams. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny. Thanks, appreciate it. Kenny might be onto something there. It's just give somebody some extra little tug of the shoulder there.
Trip them. Yeah. Right, grab something. Yeah.
Get in the way. Fall on your back and make them step over the top of you.
Would be better than what we see. Go around you a little bit.
But again,
you probably don't get a punt block.
They won 31-12 last night, and here we are pointing out a lot of problems.
I know. Negative.
But the thing is,
Nashville media.
There's not a ton to react to in terms of the way the game played out last night. It's the weirdest 31-12 final I think I've ever seen in the National Football League.
Yeah, again, it was 9-3 at the half was exactly the right score.
Yeah.
9-3 at the half completely summed up the game perfectly, and then the end just happened.
I will say, I did thoroughly enjoy the Tajay Spears touchdown run, the wildcat jet sweep misdirection where he just keeps it and goes at the middle. I enjoyed that.
Spears and Pollard out there together. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought, the play calling was good. Point made on the text line in terms of Ridley. Well, Austin Franklin says that's $650K per catch, so that will probably go down as the season goes on. But Brian from Mount Juliet making the point that, Ramsey was on Ridley. I mean, I don't know if he was on all night on him, but he was on him. So,
I mean, you're allowed to make plays on Jalen Ramsey.
Sure, absolutely. But I mean, he is still one of the top corners in the NFL.
He's a very good player,
But yeah, I mean, you got to me, especially with as good as Ridley is with the ball in his hands, just some quick stuff to him, I think is, and they tried to do a few things like that.
Oh, and he dropped one too. He dropped. Now, granted, that was going to be a 6-yard gain, so I don't know how consequential that was going to be. But he still dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to catch the ball when it's thrown your way if you're him as well. He's dropped a couple this year, so got to find a way to hold on the football. 615-737-1025
is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Continue to take your thoughts on the Titans' first win of the season last night against the Miami Dolphins. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
Storm Duck 6.
Mason Rudolph is a good backup quarterback in the NFL. Dare I say top 10.
It's kind of ugly, though. We're the Tennessee
Oilers. Gonna get all it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'm glad Storm Duck made the open. Nice tackle from Storm Duck last night.
Good call. Storm Duck did a nice job.
Love that guy.
Good play, Storm Duck.
I mean, he needs to, I'm sure that, you know, Tua and Tyreek Hill and Waddle and those guys are leading jersey sales in Miami. Shortly behind those guys needs to be Storm Duck.
Absolutely. There's got to be somebody with a duck.
It has to.
What's his number?
Remember? I have no idea. 30-something?
Duck.
36, maybe? I'll go back and look.
All right, I'm gonna shift it to the Titans in the situation and an interaction I had, a couple that I had last night. But I do, real quickly, rest in peace, Pete Rose, the all-time hit king of baseball. You know, Pete Rose, last year at some point, I think it was during the playoff series, right?
I believe it was right before it.
Or was it maybe the end of the regular season? Was in the Preds locker room?
Yeah.
I actually remember Barry Trotz went over to him, and Barry Trotz was talking to him about how Trotz grew up loving the Montreal Expos when Pete was on those teams and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool.
I remember Luke Evangelista going up to him and being like, hey, man, huge fan. And I'm like... Are you? Okay.
Wow. No kidding.
You're 22 years old. All right.
Watch some reruns of This Week in Baseball. It used to be one of my favorite shows. By the way, Detroit Tigers today, playoffs. Let's go. Tarik Skubal.
Yep.
Cy Young Award winner. But here's my question on Pete Rose before I get into my main rant. Everybody's talking now like, oh, so now he's in the Hall of Fame, huh? Is that a thing where it's like, well, we got to make sure if someone's kept out of the Hall of Fame, let's make sure we wait until they pass away,
yeah,
and then we can entertain the possibility.
I mean, I guess it comes from the quote-unquote lifetime ban, and now obviously that's over. But like to me, if you're gonna put him in the Hall of Fame, then you should put him in the Hall of Fame. Like I don't know that it's now going to be revisited now that he's passed away. Now, look, I'm of the opinion he should probably be in the Hall of Fame. That's just me, but I've always kind of felt that way. So.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's going to change.
I'm with you. I mean, there are people who are in the Hall of Fame who, you know, you can find some things that they've done that were problematic. So, and you know, we have all the stuff with the Royd guys.
Oh yeah,
but I think I'm generally on board with that. But yeah, it's just okay. So it's just a lifetime ban. Well, lifetime over. So,
yeah, so now he's
lift
in.
The ban.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, like if you were going to do it. Let you know, do it
while he's alive.
Yeah, that seems
that would be great.
So, but here's my we're gonna get back into Levis and the quarterback, and you know what, we are gonna do that. And I just would like to. I read earlier the text of like, this is so stupid. Clearly, you know, Will Levis, you know, needs to be sat down. Okay, so let's not have the discussion. But last night, first of all, I got into it with someone that we're going to have on our program on Thursday.
Yes.
And it could get spicy. I mean, if we can recreate our text, Charles and I, from last night, we could have a real spicy conversation. But here's the thing that I just cannot handle on all of this, okay? So Brian Callahan said what he said last night, 100% he's back, right? So you sent out a tweet about the show, as you do at night.
I do.
You know, join us, you know, Robbie and Rex Show 6 and 9. And I said, I quote tweeted it, and I said what Callahan had just said in the presser, which is if Will's healthy, he's our quarterback. But I said, that won't stop the argument. So Eugene, at Exterminator X on X, says, it will if you refuse to entertain controversy talk, but you won't be able to resist. To which I said, so if anyone has a different opinion, you censor them. Like, no discussion. We can't discuss it.
We can't have anything.
The coach said something so that we all just sit here quietly. He said, of course not, but I'm sure it's not going to be the fans in the chat leading the controversy discussion for the next 2 weeks, despite what the coach said. All of media will be leading the discussion, encouraging it, and not shutting it down, save for a few. And then I said, well, I got an argument last night with another media member. So everyone doesn't agree on the topic. Is that allowed? Tell me, Eugene, are we allowed to have a discussion or not? So I got you saying, this is so dumb. He said he's a quarterback. We don't need a discussion. We got some of the texts that this is so dumb. We know that Levis is done. There's no discussion. Well, it seems like you both think it's so dumb and you totally disagree with each other that maybe we should have a freaking discussion about it.
I would agree. Now, that is a rant, baby. Where's Kuharski?
God, yeah. Say, where's Paul? Are you listening, Paul? I mean, it's just, guys, come on. This is not some media-driven fake controversy. This is a legitimate discussion about the Tennessee Titans quarterback situation. And I agree with Brian Callahan that what he said, when he said it, the way he said it, I think he went about the right way because I think Will Levis should still be the quarterback. But, yeah, a lot of people disagree, which is okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
So we have a sports talk show. Thanks for listening.
About the quarterback in our city.
Like, yeah. It's amazing.
Kind of a big deal.
There are some opinions that could arise on that. Look, you know, I've said it. If you're of the opinion today that Mason Rudolph should be the starting quarterback for the team against Indianapolis, like, I'm not going to sit here and just, like, laugh at you. I don't think it's, like, some laughable take that's the case. I wouldn't do it. I'd go back to Levis. My leash with Levis at this point is pretty short. That's me. Other people would disagree with that. That's fine. But, like, if you're of the opinion today that Mason Rudolph should start because you feel like Mason Rudolph gives you a better chance to win, quite frankly, right now, it may be hard to argue against that. Like, he might give you a better chance to win. I'm just kind of viewing it through the long-term health of the franchise in terms of you have to figure out quarterback. I do know this about Mason Rudolph. Could he give you a better chance to win right now? Yeah, probably so. Is Mason Rudolph a realistic option for a long-term quarterback if you want to be a team that is in the playoffs and competing for championships? Which ultimately, as laughable as that sounds right now and how far away the Titans are from doing that is your ultimate goal.
Right.
Mason Rudolph is not the answer there. So you have to do everything you can do to get closer to that answer. And look, maybe later in the year, getting closer to that answer means continuing to trot Will Levis out there and hoping that it doesn't go very well and getting a higher draft pick. That could be where you get to at some point this year. I don't know.
And that's what Kuharski referred to. And, yeah, I mean, it's sort of like I guess we've talked about the Fank before, right? That's sort of what it would be.
We have.
I mean, I guess we could probably put on sides like you and Charles on one and Kuharski on the other. I have a little bit longer time that I would want to see Levis. I do agree at some point it might be. If it gets so bad, then it might be time to just sit and then see. I think for the most part when you do that, it's kind of like, okay, so it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, you know, could the guy come back late in the season or something like that? In theory. I mean, I think it's hard to go back once you sit him down. That's why I would say keep waiting. But, I mean, if it's going to be crazy turnover every time, then I get it. I get the idea of, sitting him down.
Well, quite frankly, if I'm a Titans fan right now, like we've heard a couple of that today of, like, sit him down and then put him back in later in the year, like when you're either out of it or you feel like he's had enough time to sit and digest and learn. And I just don't want any part of that because the last thing I want is, if you're a Titans fan, is to go with Rudolph right now, go with him as long as you're in it. Let's say 3 weeks are left in the season and you're mathematically out of it. And you're like, okay, well, we're out. Let's go Will Levis. And Levis does just enough in the 3 weeks to be like, well, there was something there. It wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. So now we have to go into next year and just say, all right, well, we'll see. I want to – we talked about this heading into the year. Are we going to absolutely know one way or the other that Will Levis is the answer or not at the end of the season? And my answer to that was always probably not completely 100% certain. So he's probably getting year 3. If he plays the way that he's played to this point, the answer to me is 100% certain he is not the quarterback of the future. So I'd like to see him play at this point to see if the, if that changes. I don't want him sitting down and then coming back in. To me, when you make the decision to sit him, that tells me you're done with him at this point. I don't want him sitting now and then coming back with three games left in the season and you still kind of being in no man's land in terms of your decision with him at that point.
So, and that's the thing. So, I agree with that. That's why I think, like, if he throws a pick next game and you take him out, that's still fast to me, you know? What kind of pick is it? Is it, like, right away you come right out and throw one? It's like, geez. I mean, at some point he's probably going to hear it from the home fans, too. You know,
we're very close to that.
And things like that. I mean, look, there's people who, like, they want to win.
Well, matter of fact, I'm here to tell you, like, if he throws a pick like he did last night, next week against Indianapolis, he will get booed. Like, I have no doubt about it.
Yeah. But I still, you know, because I'm with Dennis, you know, who, by the way, apparently his dad went to high school with Pete Rose and took a vicious elbow to the nose from Pete Rose in a pickup hoops game. He said, unless you think the Titans are a Super Bowl contender, there's no reason to start Rudolph. Anytime Rudolph is under center, you're just spinning your wheels. I think I agree to a certain point. Yeah, I mean, if it gets so bad where it's just like, I mean, there is, we haven't even talked today about the locker room thing, which again, to me is like, I get it. And D-Mace has talked a ton about that. And I mean, I totally hear what he's saying. I respect it. I also think when it comes down to it, you're employees and you have to understand that this organization is trying to figure out if it has a franchise quarterback or not. And like, whether you like it or not, like this is not like some state secret. Like everybody knows that that's what this year is. It's not just, by golly, we can win with this team. They did spend money that would give them a chance to win games this year. But like, you have to know that, right? You have to, if you pay any attention at all to the situation, then you know it. And so you have to know that there's going to be a lot. Like, that's why after last night's game, it's just like, oh, 100%. Will Levis is the quarterback. Why? It's not based on performance or winning or not turning it over. Right. It's based on that.
Oh, and I think it's also based on, again, who your backup quarterback is. Like, it's one thing if there's a long-term future with Mason Rudolph being a legitimate playoff championship contending starter, and we all know that there's not. So that changes the equation as well. We'll continue this discussion on the quarterback situation for the Titans. Titans win last night 31-12, get their first win of the season. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.